Do I need it? Get all my gear here in place. There. It's a special day, isn't it? It is a special day. It's really a special day when God's people gather together. And God has something special for us today. I really appreciated that last song that really touched my heart. It was a tremendous confirmation to the word that God has given me. Actually, he gave this word to me a few months ago. And so it's been kind of like in the crock pot, like a good spaghetti sauce. The longer it sits, the longer it cooks, the better it is. Amen? And I want to start out in prayer this morning, but I want us to pray in a particular way. My dear wife doesn't know this, that I was going to do this, but on behalf of my wife, many of you know her, I guess there ain't no really other way around this other than to say that God, when you're talking about children, children are important to God, and they should be important to us. Amen? And the Lord blessed my dear wife with four children, and the oldest and the youngest have passed on. That's a tough blow for a parent, that your children precede you in death. So she has two sons left. We have a total of seven sons together. I'm honored that one of my sons sits in the back. But today, one of her sons is in a real difficult situation. Some of you know him. His name is John. And he's challenged in many, many ways. And he's under tremendous attack. And I want us to pray corporately because there's a corporate anointing when we pray together. But I don't just want to pray for him. My sense as I was driving in with my wife this morning is that God wants to do something in 2022, like he wants to do every year, every day, every week, every month. Amen? God's at work. He doesn't rest. He doesn't pull off at the rest area. He's at work. Whether we understand it or not, whether we see it or not, God is at work each and every day in the earth. And I want us to pray for Watertown, New York. I want us to pray for the city that we represent. I appreciate we have some military men in here. I was in the military myself. I appreciate our military, don't you? And amen. And our military represent the United States of America. And that's a powerful thing. And they fight for our freedom. Freedom is never free, is it? It's always going to cost the life of someone. But do you know that there's a greater reality than that sitting in this room today? What could that possibly be? We are the children of God. We are the children of the King. And we represent the greatest freedom fighter ever. He died for the freedom of the whole world. And we represent him. And we represent that kingdom. And we represent that kingdom today here in Watertown, New York, Jefferson County, and the North Country. And God wants to awaken us to that reality. And so I want us to corporately pray for your loved ones. Maybe you have a loved one that is yet not saved, walking in darkness, an inch close to the precipice of death, under bondage, being afflicted, being tormented, being abused, misused, controlled, victimized. That's what the devil does. And some of us know that full well. I was one of them. And so, if you would join with me, would you please stand in honor to God? And we're going to pray. And we're going to pray together. Father, we just thank you, God, for your holy presence. And your presence that is here. Because you said, Lord, you say what you mean what you say. And you said, Lord, in your word, that when two or three gather together in your name, there you are in the midst. And you inhabit the praises of your people. And so, Lord, you're here today. Let us make no mistake about that. You are here today. And, Lord, as we stand to our feet in honor and respect to you, O Lord, we, Lord, ask for Watertown, New York. We ask for Jefferson County. We ask for the North Country. We ask for New York State. We ask for the United States of America. We ask, oh God, for the nations of the earth. In this year, 2022, oh God, that you will pour out such a blessing, such a God, a degree and a measure of your precious Holy Spirit that truly will set the captives free, we pray, God. Father, we have loved ones, Lord God. Lord, you know them by name, Lord. There's people that are friends, extended family members, neighbors, relatives, fellow workers, Lord God, that are in bondage, Lord. And it's supposed to touch our hearts, Lord. Because if they die without you, they'll be in eternal burnings. They'll be in hell. And that's a truth. That's a reality. And so, Lord, we're asking God, we're asking, your word says to ask for the heathen for an inheritance. So we're asking right here today, God, for the heathen for inheritance, Lord God, in this city and in this county, in this North Country, God, today for your glory. So Lord, let this be the day that you activate and pour forth a greater measure of your precious Holy Spirit, God, to set the captives free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you ahead of time, Father, for that, we pray. Lord, have your way here today. Open our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I never take it lightly. I want to pray for these. Father, thank you for the prayer request that every week goes in these baskets, Lord, and nobody looks at them, only you. You know the burdens of your people's hearts. You know the petitions. You hear the cries. You see the hearts. Lord, according to your perfect will, answer these prayers, we pray. God, for your glory. For your glory, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I never take it as a small thing in ministering the Word of God because you're going to stand before God and give an account for it. And the Lord, probably 4 months ago, started speaking to me about this Word, and I title my sermons, and the title of this sermon is A Priceless Treasure. A Priceless Treasure. I want to open up with, what does that mean? A priceless treasure. A treasure that is priceless. Do you know that you have, that you possess a priceless treasure beyond description today that resides within you? See, that's the problem. As far as I'm concerned, amen! Yeah! Hallelujah! That's a great thing! Because it is a treasure, and it is priceless. And there was a day, there was an hour when you and me did not have that priceless treasure residing within our hearts. Our father, our dad was the devil. But not today, because we've been born again by that Spirit, by that treasure that resides within inside of me and resides within you. And I believe God wants to awaken the sleeping giant. We want to lay the blame to what's going wrong in the ills of the world at every other buddy's doorstep. The Republicans, the Democrats, the military, Russia, Putin or Putin or whatever his name is. You know, so forth and so on. But here's the thing. We must lie it at the doorstep of the church. Because it's the church that is the body of Christ. It's the church that is the ambassadors of Christ, the ministers of reconciliation. We're the light and we're the salt in the earth. That's what God says about you and that's what He says about me. And the reason that that is the truth is because we have a priceless treasure that resides within inside of us. So today, did we just mouth that song? Did we just mouth that song? We're used to singing hymns and songs. We know them like the back of our hand. Oh, I'm familiar with that one. It makes me feel good. And so we're going to chime in on that one. And boy, doesn't that sound wonderful? And that'll sound great. And we're quite harmonious. But here's the thing. Though you worship me with your lips, yet your heart is far from me. Are we truly desperate? Are we truly desperate for God? I mean, hey, and I'm just saying, you know, and the Lord's Spirit, for those of us that are spiritual, which I hope is all of us, there was a special touch. Tell me if I'm wrong. Was there a special touch on that song? I mean, we could have gone for a while with that song. I appreciate Brother Flunel. I mean, I love that. Oh, Lord, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Amen. Amen. Brother Brian's getting a little, he's getting a little loose over here with that. Yeah, you know, we're gonna go another time around. You know, I mean, it's yeah. There's an anointing upon that. We're lost without Him. Do you realize that? You want to know how I realize that myself personally? See, you can't give away something you ain't got. You can only preach what you know, what you experience. Anything else is kind of like, he don't know what he's talking about. We're supposed to be confident and convinced of what comes out of our mouth in His name. And I'm convinced about this treasure because I know what it is, and so don't you, to walk without that priceless treasure, without His presence. That's the priceless treasure, His Holy Spirit inside. Remember back? Has it been so long that you can't remember that where the sewer God found you? The cell that God found you? The ditch that God found you? The bar joint that God found you? Or wherever it may be, thank God His love is not kept out of those places. I'm not excited about this, but I also know what it is to be backslidden. And to hurt and grieve inside. Because yourself kind of condemns yourself once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good and you're not doing right. And thank God for the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And I thank God that when we kind of, you know, that's the way sin is, you know. God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For those of you that have been down that road, that's the way that it goes. Thank God for His love. Thank God for His pursuit. And my wife and myself, dear son, John Burnham, he needs God. I can't really go into the details, but in a few short weeks, really unbeknownst to him, he's going to be in a situation where he's going to need the miraculous. But you know, sometimes we need to go to the pig pen. That's one of my classic sermons. And sometimes we want to get in the way of people going to the pig pen But you have to go to the pig pen sometimes to come to your senses and understand what you had and you walked away from. And so now I'm really going to repent and I'm going to turn back to my God. Because even the servants in the house live better than I live. I love that. That's the story of the prodigal son. But that's not my message today. That's just the icebreaker. So with that being said, let's turn to Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I want to develop this today about this treasure. And a treasure is something that's supposed to enrich you. A treasure is something that people will traverse the world to go look for treasures, for gold and for precious gemstones and diamonds and whatever. And sometimes people get killed in the pursuit of that, so forth and so on. And the reason that they're in the pursuit of that treasure is because it enriches somebody's life. It makes them rich. But we have been blessed. We have been enriched with the greatest blessing in the universe. We have the presence of God. I thought about this. I shared this with somebody. Do you know on the south rim of Lake Ontario that once upon a time that they wanted to rim that south rim with nuclear power plants? And there are nuclear power plants that are there today. But think of this. That's a powerful thing. And if one of them like Chernobyl goes wrong or whatever that place in Japan was, you got issues. You got problems. And those things, you know, got stuff going on for a long time. And if they ever exploded, my. So we're familiar with that. That's the natural. But do you know that you have inside of you something that is so far greater, more powerful than those nuclear plants combined together? Do you know that? You have God inside you. What or who is bigger than God? Nothing. So I want to start with this, the priceless treasure on the outside first. So we're going to go to a story about a guy by the name of Obed-Edom. Anybody familiar with that name? How'd you like to be called that? Obed-Edom, right? So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting with verse 4, we're going to read the story. And they brought it out, this is the ark now, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio, went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord, and all kinds of instruments of fir wood and harps and string instruments and on tambourines and sistrums and on cymbals. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. Now that's a strange story, isn't it? Here's the ark of God. It's on a cart and oxen are pulling the ark, which just happens to be the most holiest piece of furniture in all of Israel. The ark. The ark represents God's presence. The ark represents God's authority. The ark represents God's power. You want to be careful when you mess with the presence of God. And in this case, the ark. So let's go on. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. I would be too. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? See, David had in his heart, he wanted the presence of God. He wanted the authority of God in his midst. As well as being the king, he wanted it in the midst of the nation that he represented as the king. And specifically, he wanted it in Jerusalem. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom. There is the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And what he did was, is he figured it out. And this is a powerful prophetic picture, that there was only one way, according to the instructions of God, that his ark, his presence, his power, his authority was to be moved about. And it was to be moved about on the shoulders of the Levites. That's how it was to be transported. Not by animals, not by ox, and not on some cart. But Levites that were priests unto God, they carried the presence. They carried the burden of the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Are you familiar with the word that says this about us, that you're members of a royal priesthood? Get the correlation? We're supposed to carry the presence of the Lord. That is a holy responsibility. And sometimes it tears us up. We have tremendous burdens of heart and this and that and everything else. But here's the thing. Buck up and fulfill the call of God upon your life, brother and sister. The presence of God. Do you think that Obed-Edom, hey, you can let it stay another day, week, month, year. You ain't got to take it out. I was blessed that it was here. He was blessed because of the presence of God was in his house. Isn't that what the scripture says? And it was an ark. Do you want to know? Here's another golden nugget. Do you want to know what that? Because everything in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, is a type and a shadow and a picture of that which is to come. And then that which is a type and a shadow and a pattern and a picture of, when it comes, you no longer need those things. The type and the shadow and the picture. Here is the prophetic picture of what that ark is. What was inside of the ark? Two stones that had what? The law written on it, right? The first four pertain to God. The next six pertain to man. So there was the tablets, right? There was the manna, right? That jar of manna. And there was Aaron's rod that budded. And it was made of what? Beaten gold in the outside and on the inside. And on top of it, it had a covering. And that covering was called the mercy seat. And that mercy seat was designed like this, that in the center of it, it had a bowl, and they had two cherubims looking over the work of God. And that piece of furniture was put into the Holy of Holies, and only once a year, the high priest, according to the instructions of the Lord, could dare to enter in to that presence of the Lord. And by blood, first blood for himself, and then blood for the people of God. The mercy seat. And the scripture says in the book of James that mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So if you're under the law and you have no blood upon you, the blood of bulls and goats, which is all Israel had until the time that the Messiah come, it only covered, but it never eradicated the sin. It was a type and it was a shadow. But here it is. Who's inside of you? Christ, the Spirit of the living God. And metal talks about things. Gold represents what? Purity. It represents God, divinity. Silver represents redemption. Brass represents sin. It's beaten gold. Beaten gold. Jesus was beaten for our sins, shed his blood for our sins, that our sins would be passed off as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. And we need to really grasp that, because some of us, that have been around a day or two or maybe a few decades still haven't grasped and understood that when God says your sins are forgiven, when you confess and repent, your sins are forgiven. Get up and move on. Oh, man. 40 years ago, man, I screwed up, I messed up, and so, you know, I'm damaged goods. I could be no good to God, so forth and so on. You don't understand how it works. You don't understand God's righteousness. It's not your righteousness, it's about His righteousness, that mercy triumphs over judgment. So in the new covenant, in this great transaction with the treasure inside, what does God do? Where does that law now go? Isn't it written by His finger on the what? On the tablets of what? Your heart. Woo-hoo! And you're members of the royal priesthood, which is what that rod that budded. Do you know what type of nut that it budded with? There was a flower and there was something that came out of that flower. Do you know what it is? How many people like almonds? That's what it was. Almonds. Now, I don't know the significance of that. I just know that is a little tidbit. But the rod, we rule in Christ Jesus. God has delegated His power and authority to you and to me. We carry the rod. We're God's royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a chosen people. That's what we are because of this treasure that we have inside. And that manna, that jar of manna. What's that symbolic of, you think? Who came down from heaven? And He's known as what? The living manna. That ark is none other than you. That ark is none other than you. It's you. It represents the presence of God. So God is not on an ark today. It's on you. It's within you. And God wants to awaken that. And so here's where it starts on the outside. But now I want to go to the inside where it really counts. God wants to move on the inside. And in the new covenant, that's what we're on, or we're involved in, is that which went from the outside to the inside. It's no longer external, but it's internal. It's inside. You hear God speaking to you where? On the inside. Does He move upon your heart? Does He burden your heart? Does He speak to you? Do you hear the still small voice of God on the inside? And God wants to awaken that so that we can get to the place in Watertown, New York, and Jefferson County, and when we see somebody in tremendous bondage, whatever it may be, and they're begging in that bondage, in that darkness, in that abuse, and we walk by, going our way, but because we're led by the Spirit of God, all of a sudden God says, stop. Minister to that man. Minister to that woman. And we stop. And we say to the person, because this is the story in Acts, look here. Look here. Don't bother look here to see what you can get. Something's going to happen. Look right here. So he fixes his eyes upon him thinking he's going to get some coinage too. And this is what Peter and John said. Silver or gold have I none. Oh, man. Silver or gold have I none. But what I do possess, I'm about to give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he was so sure of it, guess what? The scripture, the intimate details of the scripture are amazing. Did he help the guy up with sticking out a damaged leg with a knee? Did he stick out a left hand? See, this is the cool thing about reading the scriptures. Every little jot and tittle has some importance. What did he reach down with? The right hand! Well, Jay, right hand. What's so big about that? The right hand in God means the side of favor. Not the left. Who's going to be on the right? The sheep, the people of God. You don't want to be on the left. On the right. So Peter, by unction, gives him, because he's representing Christ, gives him the right hand of God, the side of favor, the side of power, the side of authority. So silver or gold, what you need in the natural ain't God, but what you need is way more in the natural. You need the spiritual. So in the name of Jesus Christ, get up! Yeah. And man, didn't he get up. Woo! Woo! Right? I mean, come on, man. See, this is the problem. This is the problem. We're not down in the dust of the ground and beaten down for how long? 38 years? See? That's why. Okay, it's all right. Yeah. See, that's our problem. That's why sometimes, saints, our prayers don't get answered. Do you want to know why? Because we don't pray with compassion. We just go through the motion. Ouch. Ouch. We don't pray with compassion. We don't spend the time to really allow the Spirit of God to put upon our hearts what that person is going through and what they're feeling. So that all of a sudden something can swell up inside of us and we can pray with tears and compassion. We can truly have empathy. Not sympathy, but empathy. Say, just saying. A priceless treasure on the inside. Thank you for praying for me, because this is less than two weeks. They worked on my knee. Your prayers work. That's less than 2 weeks. Thank you. That priceless treasure. So I want to build this now. Okay, we've only been going for 5 minutes. I'm going to keep track of time. Mark said he wanted to leave by 3 because he had something going on at 3. Let's turn in the New Testament to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, some of you that are Bible students probably know where I'm going. It's one of the greatest revelatory scriptures about this treasure in the scriptures. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Starting with verse 24. Paul writing. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which God was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, which is the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. I'll say it again. The mystery, which means hidden truth, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There it is. That's the mystery that's been hidden from the ages and generations. But 2,000 years ago, all of a sudden, that which was the type in the shadow of the pattern, all of a sudden stepped on planet Earth and said, I am here. I am the gospel person. I am the good news. I am the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. And then I'm going to die, and I'm going back where I came from. And now you can be clothed once again with glory in the Spirit of God that left mankind in the garden 4,000 years before that. No big deal, huh? It's a big deal. And he talked so much about this. And this kind of shocked some people down in Bible school downstairs. I like to take out grenades. And when I was pastoring, I'd always went through this motion. People in the military in the old days, you know, that meant you pull the pin, you know what's coming next. Because I wanted people to think. Use this thing between the ears. Think. Be good Bereans. Be good Bible students. And I said, I put out the question. When was the church born? And of course, we've been taught doctrinally Acts chapter 2, right? Because the Spirit of God came, and man, didn't it come with power and might, and filled 120 in the upper room, right? I said, amen, thank God for that. But that's not where the church started. Actually, the church was talked about in the Old Covenant as well. But now something new is taking place. And the Prince of Peace, who raises from the dead, goes in behind closed doors, didn't bother using the doorbell or knocking on the door. He just came in to those men that were hiding. Not women, but men. And said, peace. Peace be unto you. That is so profound and so powerful. Because the Prince of Peace just made peace on your and I behalf to God. You cannot have the peace, hear me now, you cannot have the peace of God without first having peace with God. It don't work. It don't work by, the cart before the horse. You got to have peace with God first before you can have the peace of God. So he's saying now, peace with you. I have made peace. It's finished. And now, what my Father and me were after all along can now take place in you. And it says he went. What a seemingly insignificant, maybe even foolhardy, foolish thing to do. But God don't do nothing foolish. He spoke and the universe came into being. And he breathed on him. What did he say? Receive the Holy Spirit. What happens when you receive the Holy Spirit? You get saved. You become born again. You become regenerated. You become converted. That's where the church started. Right then and right there. You can't call Jesus Christ Lord without the Spirit. Just saying. Check it out yourself. But if that was all there was, and he talks to him for 40 days about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and then he says, but one thing you lack. Tarry and wait in Jerusalem for the promise that I talked to you about, that the Father will send in my name. Now, they didn't know exactly all that that meant, but they knew this by this time. I like the Nike commercial. Just do it. They learned by now. Just do it. And you know what happens when you obey God, whether you don't understand it or not? You know what happens? You get blessed. Blessings are the result of obedience to God. We got to get that. If we want the Bible thing, we must do the Bible. If you want the Bible result, you must do the Bible thing. You want to be a blessed? Be a blessing. You want to be forgiven? Forgive. You want to have mercy? Be merciful. You want to receive? Give. It's simple. But it's about the Holy Spirit. Wait and tarry that you might be, I love that word, that you might be endued. Say endued. Endued. Man, that resonates in me. Endued with power from upon high. That's real power. That's powerful. And man, we kind of like power. Right, Jay? Right? I do that in funny with Jay because Jay's an arm wrestler, but and power. power. Or maybe it might be this. Vroom, 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 vroom. It exhilarates us, guys. Come on, man. And I know some of you guys, because I think as a guy, stay with God now. Stay with God. Because I know the Super Bowl's on later. I know. I get that. But the Super Bowl it pales in comparison to this. That Super Bowl is going to have some bad news for some people. Maybe some good news for others. That's just the way that the ball goes. But this is good news forever. And this is a power. I want to build it one more about the inside. Let me check my time. That's why I brought my thing up. Power without, but better power within. I want to keep mentioning a priceless treasure. Say a priceless treasure. You have a priceless treasure on the inside. And God wants you to be acquainted with that priceless treasure on the inside. Turn with me, if you will, to real quick to Ephesians. That's going backwards, two books. To Ephesians chapter 3. How are we doing? Is anybody getting this? Is this happening for you? Okay. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Paul again writing, now I love this verse. Now to him who is able to do, and I love the verbiage. Say, love the verbiage. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Not just, it's like abundantly is kind of cool. I mean, abundant is more enough, but no. God says, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. And that would be good if we just left it there. But let's go on. According to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. There it is. There it is. Okay? Now, let's turn back to 2 Corinthians. And this is where I actually got this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting with verse 5. Once again, Paul writing to the Corinthians says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God wants you to know him as Abba Father. He wants you to know him as a kind, gracious, merciful, loving Father. But the only way that the God, that the Father has designed for us to know that is in light of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No Jesus, no Father. No Jesus, no forgiveness. No Jesus, no eternity. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? I love it. Jesus. I once upon a time had some relatives and they thought I was kooky. They thought I was nuts and they might not have been too far off. But they said that's all he wants to talk about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's all he talks about. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, you know what? God's got a lot of humor because those people that were talking to me like that, guess what happened? Glory to God, they got saved. They got saved before they went to heaven. They're in heaven today. And I'm so glad. So I suffered a little. I used to be back when I was a young buck in better knees. And they'd say, and I was young in the faith, they didn't know it. And they'd go, oh, that Jesus stuff. That Jesus stuff. That's just a crutch. And I go, no, that ain't a crutch. Well, guess what? I've matured somewhat. You want to know what? Well, if Jesus is a crutch, give me two. Because I want to be upheld by Jesus Christ. I love to be upheld by Jesus Christ. I love that Jesus is my support. So give me two. Give me the wheelchair. Give me everything. That's what I want. I want me some Jesus. And God wants to excite his church. He wants to waken up his church because that is the only way that Watertown, New York is going to be touched, is by awakening to what is inside of you. I thought I was going to pull off some... What's his name? what's that brother at Bethel? What's his name? The pastor of Bethel in Redding, California. Johnson. Bill Johnson's got this cool thing. He'll, you know, regardless of what you think about Bill Johnson, he loves to come out and, you know, and Bill Johnson. Bill comes out and he stands there and he stands there. He just looks at people. And what are you going to say, Bill? But Bill, you know what he's doing? And we don't like silence, do we? It's kind of awkward, isn't it? I was actually going to do that today. I was going to pull a Bill Johnson. Just get up here and... But I'm not yet that mature, I guess. Maybe even Paul said, oh, I'm going, now I know how to pray for him. But it's true. And he's waiting in the Spirit. I hope that the Spirit is awakening something in you. Because you're God's Navy Six SEAL team. Mm-hmm. I was in the Marines, so we're just a basic Marines kind of nuts anyways. So they sent all the other forces to come and watch us train back in the day, you know. And then they got special forces, you know what I mean? So then the Marines had to have their special forces. But to risk your life and all that goes with it, the sacrifice and the obedience and the professionalism and so forth and so on, to go into harm's way, and maybe you ain't coming out, but you go in there nonetheless. Just like first responders, you know, that's kind of crazy. When everybody else is running out of a fire, firemen are running into fire. I just want to put a real quick plug in, hopefully being led by the Spirit of God. We're in challenging days, aren't we? I'm thinking about the Ukrainian people. I'm so thankful one night Paul mentions that in our prayer on Tuesday night. He mentioned the Ukrainian people. He needs to mention the Ukrainian people. We need to mention as a people, the Ukrainian people before God. Because the odds are, unless God gets involved, they're going to war. And there's all the statistics that how many days this city will fall, how many people will lay dead, 50, 60, 70,000 in a matter of days because of the armament that's there, you know. That is no joke. And we don't get that, do we, in America? You know, we don't get that because we don't have that type of reality, if you will. But a large portion of the world, that is the reality. And we need to be much more in tune with that because that treasure that's inside of us is the same treasure over there. And we can do a lot. Hear me now. This is an amazing truth. We can do a lot. Though we might not be there physically, but in the spirit, that's where it is, in the spirit realm, we can join, we can connect with God in the spirit realm and make a difference in the Ukraine. I'm serious. Or any other part of the world. We got to waken up to the kingdom realities because we're kingdom people. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We've been born again. We're a new creation. Amen? And we got this treasure on the inside. So going on, it says, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what I think when I pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. God wants to colonize earth with heaven. And guess who the colonizers are, if that's even a word? You and me. He wants to colonize earth. And guess, and what is our makeup from? The earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth, in earthen vessels. The only way that God's kingdom is going to come to the earth is if it first comes in these earthen vessels. We have this opportunity to represent Him. It's amazing. We get to do things that angelic beings cannot even do. And those of us that love to worship and love to praise and are worship leaders and all that kind of stuff, do you know the privilege that we got when it comes to worship, and the worship in heaven is going to be off the charts? But do you know this? That when we start to sing the songs of the redeemed, the angels will not be able to participate in that. You thought of that? They're not redeemed. The angels of heaven that did not leave their original estate, that are celestial beings, they don't need to be saved. They will not be able to sing the songs of the redeemed. Think of that. That's how unique you are. We are. And we work together. And God sends angelic beings that He commands to help us in this work. But they do not preach the gospel message. You and I do. The message that saves a lost soul. That awakens a lost soul. And that's why Acts chapter 2. It says Jesus corrected them. He says after the Spirit has come upon you, after this treasure. That's what's on display here today. Yeah. I'm not a public speaker. I'm not polished. I'm not this and I'm not that. When I had to give an oral book report in front of 20 people of my peers in school, I fled school. I quit school, went to Florida, 1,900 miles away in an orange grove. And I said, there, whew, pressure's off. Because I had humongous low self-esteem and a lack of self-confidence. I was like hearing demon words. They don't like you. Who are you? You're the guy that the parents don't let their kids play with. You're this and you're that. And I'm going, yeah, you're right. You know, so all of a sudden I'm tied up in knots. I'm fearing I run. So for me to come up here and sweat and look goofy and strange and mess up the English language and all that, besides all that, that's God. That's God. And I'll never forget it. The first time in a public way I pronounced His name, I thought I was going to have a heart attack, Jay. You know, I'm sitting in a circle. Has anybody got anything to say out there? Anybody got knows all kinds of people got things to say, but not me. Man, I clam up like a clam. And all of a sudden, man, I'm feeling the heart go bum, 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 bum. My hands are getting sweaty. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. So I knew I had to do something. So I'm going, I thought I'd just throw up, you know, a half flag. None of these deals. Just the guy saw me, goes, yes, you. And I go, so I stood up and I go, I love me some Jesus. And I sat back down. No lie. That was the beginning of the end. And I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus says that after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power. That word in the Greek is dunamos. It's where we get our word dynamite. You shall get like dynamite-like type power. And then go on to explain. It says this, to be witnesses unto me. To be witnesses unto me. That's what they need on the Ukrainian and Russian border, is some witnesses, some ambassadors to talk to the two sides. Listen! Love each other! Forgive one another! Get along with one another! Accept God into your hearts! Well, what are the kind of messages? I mean, is there a better message? Well, listen, I don't need what all is, you know, like witnesses to power to be a witness unto Him. And I've already determined. That's why I'm getting all these body parts. I try to tell them, listen, just take the head off. Give me the body of an 18, 19 year old. Put the head on and I'm good to go. But I've had, you know, operations, every part that you could think of. And we're getting pretty good. We're getting pretty good. I mean, I'm going backwards. I'm 68. I'm going backwards. But I got this treasure. Say priceless treasure. I got this priceless treasure. So I want to finish with this. Let's continue to read on. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. And knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, he says to Timothy, his son in the faith, he says, son, stir up. Stir up. Stir up the gift that is in you. Church, this is the word of the Lord to you. Stir up the gift. If you got a gift, stir it up. The question is, do you know that it needs to be stirred up? Are you desperate? That's what God's speaking to me. Son, I would like a greater desperation out of you. I'm just being honest with you. I think we all could do better in our walk, right? I mean, come on. Right? And so Paul says, stir it up. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift, Timothy. Stir it up. Stir it up, Brother Howie. Stir it up, Brother so-and-so. Stir it up, Sister so-and-so. And then later on in that book, 2 Timothy, which is his last writing, he says, my being is being poured out as a drink offering, and I'm about ready to die. But I want you to know this, it's not in vain, because the word of God is not in vain. Though I might be chained, the word of God is not chained, because that's the power of the gospel. And he says, I'm going to finish the race. I fought the fight, and I've kept the faith. And now I'm going to receive that crown of righteousness that has been laid up for me because I have finished the race and I kept going. You want to know the key to, which is a big thing, to endure? It says, he or she who endures to the end shall what? That's a potent word now, especially in this hour. He who endures or she to the end shall be saved. So there's no quitting here. He who endures to the end. You want to know a key to endure? Keep enduring. Continue to keep in the process of enduring. And Paul, I just read where he went through this, he went through that, he went through this, he went through that. Knocked down, smashed down. How many of you have been through that? Been through this and through that. I'll talk a little bit on my wife. My wife, I believe, even though she doesn't look it, but there's a uniqueness about my wife, because my wife, since I've been with my wife, and we're not bragging about this, but in the 8 short years that I've been with my wife, we've been through 5 significant deaths. 5 significant close family deaths. And they've all been attached to her. And so God takes this guy, Crazy Howie, and joins me to her. Now, she might, after a while, you see what I'm going through, Lord? Are you piling it on or like what, you know? And so I don't really know death. The closest death to me in the sense of my family is my mom, and she went the best way possible. She went in bed, curled up in a fetal position with a smile on her face, and went to heaven. And I did her funeral. That was so good. But I don't know what it is to lose a son. I don't know what it is to lose a daughter. I don't know what it is to find your husband of two plus decades who took his life. That's my wife. That's when I ask you to pray for her. That's why I'm asking you to pray for her. Because that's kind of beyond the pale, if you will. And yet my wife is here today. She's got a great smile. She puts on a great smile. And sometimes she is putting out, but sometimes it's true. But my wife knows what it is to persevere, wouldn't you say? She knows what it is to endure, you know? And so God put me with this woman. And God, why would you put me with her? What is it that Holly Tiverton has to offer to that godly woman? One thing and one thing alone, and I loved it. When she, another situation, we'll just say, and the gentleman said to her, I don't know how you can get through. I don't know how you can get through all of those deaths like that. How do you do it? And she was real quick to say this. I have a praying husband. I have a praying husband. And I pray. Hopefully I pray more than I talk. But I pray. There's power in prayer. And those of you that come on Tuesday night, please come in. Please keep coming. I mean, this is the way it should look right here. Let's give Pastor Jeff a good problem. Oh, God. What's going on? Revival. We're going to pray, Pastor. But I'll tell you what. The Lord wants to rip the roof off of this place on Tuesday night. That's what's going to get God's attention. That's what's going to bring the Spirit of God. That's what's going to bring the manifestation of the power and the authority of God in Watertown, New York, that desperately needs it. And that's what you're here to know. That's why you're here, sis. Yeah, that's why you're here. I know Jason would go, yeah, but she's really here for me. But she's here to help you, Jason, get that real platform. And so how do you finish this? How do you finish this? If I may have that type of liberty, first of all, I got to honor my pastor. Is there anybody here that's not saved that wants to get saved? This is your moment. Jesus bled out and died in a very public way for you. He was lifted up, was not ashamed of you or me. Is there anybody here that wants to get saved today? Okay. This is what we're going to do. This is how the altar call. I figure, Lord, how do we do an altar call that doesn't scare people? That everybody that can be involved in this, because there's not a person in here today that God's not speaking to. I know that. That God's challenging in some form or fashion. And so instead of making it, come on down to the front, we're going to have an altar call right where you sit. Or you stand. I want to ask the worship team, Brian, if you would come and play that song, that last song, that I'm the air that we breathe, that desperate, if you don't mind. Thank you. And he's going to sing that song a couple times through. And saints, let's have a conversation with our Lord and Savior. Let's have a conversation with Jesus. Let's say, Lord, I am desperate for you. And if I'm not desperate for you, make me desperate for you. God, break me. Mold me, shape me. I can do nothing without you. I'm lost without you. You're the air that I breathe. Make that soul of the heart. Amen. That's what I'm going to be doing. I don't know. That's what makes me. Is that what makes me tick? Shane, this is my son. They'll tell you the truth. Is that who I am, son? Is this the way I've been? How many decades, son? This is me. I'm not putting on a show for you. I wouldn't do that. And this doesn't come easy to me, believe me. This does not come easy to me to get up in front of you. Because I still quake and shake about it. Because it's a gift what God's called me in to do. Just like you. And just like you, Ross. I love God's humor, and when He calls us, we have no clue what He's calling us into. But 10 years later, 20 years later, you go, oh my Lord. So, Brian, So, sit, stand. This is your moment. This is your hour. This is your time. The basketball is put into your court now. You do business with Jesus. You talk to Him. Get real with Him. And say, God, awaken the treasure, the priceless treasure that you've put into me, God.
This is the air I
I'm lost without you.